This audio will report for the first time on cases handled by the original Member Conduct Committee and the succeeding Ethics and Member Conduct Committee, spanning approximately 40 years, in which cases dealing with discipline, ethics advice, and ethical support were submitted to the various MCC, EMCC committees, and either handled, disposed of, or did not get handled. It's important now to report this, both orally and in writing, as over the years, which is 42 years now, the Member Conduct Committee, which is today the Ethics and Member Conduct Committee, is required to submit a report annually to the Board of Directors, but is done in secret, and its contents have never been publicly revealed to the members. As a result, I have made the claim and stick to it that less than 1% of the over 450,000 members of IEEE, now that's around, let's say, 4,200, 4,400 members, even know that there's an Ethics and Member Conduct Committee. And it's reflected in the fact that in the last annual presidential election, less than 20% of the entire membership even participated. Now, this contrasts with the fact that in 1972-73, USAB led an effort in which the entire IEEE voted by its membership to change its constitution to add professional and ethics activities for the first time. The participation rate of that vote was over 82%. 82% voted to change the Constitution, but in the elections of the presidents today, less than 20% participate. That needs to change. Now, worse than that, we had recently a presidential candidate for IEEE make the claim that the reason the Ethics and Member Conduct Committee cannot handle ethics advice and ethical support cases is that the load for handling member discipline cases has been too heavy. The data that is presented below in the report will show that this is not correct. The workload handled during the time that the Member Conduct Committee handled both discipline and ethical support, that workload exceeded the workload of the approximately 11 years of the EMCC, while the Member Conduct Committee during the 90s were handling not only member discipline, but requests for advice and ethical support. Whereas in the most recent period of the 2000 era, they were prohibited from handling anything except member discipline. So the statement by the presidential candidate was based upon wrong information, and that's why we need to publish to the members the number of cases, the type of cases, and the dispositions of them, so we get educated on what is going really on, so we know what's happening in the entire profession of IEEE. The data below stands on its own. It's from multiple sources. The first is from Jim Fairman, who was the very first chairman of Member Conduct Committee in 1978. He helped create the discipline procedures, while Steve Unger and I helped create the member ethics advice and ethical support procedures. I made the presentation to the entire board at the meeting in November 1977 in San Diego for USAB, and that was integrated with what Jim Fairman had prepared. And that's what created the first Member Conduct Committee in February of 1978. Now, something further that we need to consider in these two recommendations I'm making is that the Member Conduct Committee is only allowed to make a report to the board once a year. It's mandatory, but it's in secret, and it covers what its activities were, the cases handled, and so forth. I am recommending that be changed, and that the EMCC now be required to make two reports each year. And these reports must be distributed to the membership. It can be done by either Spectrum or the Institute or a private individual mail out. But the data from the EMCC twice a year needs to be put into the hands of the members at 6-month intervals and cover particularly the cases that were handled, the discipline cases, requests for advice, requests for ethical support, their issues, of course, in confidence, can't reveal anything of a public nature about the individuals, and what the disposition of those cases were. Hopefully from this, education about ethic practice will evolve and enhance the entire membership's practice and support of IEEE's tagline, advancing technology to enhance humanity. I have one additional recommendation to make, and I've done this throughout this update, and that is the Society on the Social Implications of Technology is a neutral organization. It doesn't specialize in any particular technical field. It spans all the technical fields, and its focus is on enhancing the tagline of IEEE. Therefore, my recommendation is that we need a watchdog over the EMCC, one that can represent the members and then keep up on what activities the EMCC is performing and then make recommendations to the board for any improvements or changes. And I believe that watchdog function would fall directly into the sphere of activities and interests of the Society on the Social Implications of Technology. I happen to be a life member of SSIT. I've been involved in it since it was actually CSIT, when it was a committee led by Steve Unger, who I consider to be today the father of IEEE ethics. And it arose out of the early work leading towards the BART case in the early 1970s, and a recommendation to get involved in the BART case to provide ethical support. And IEEE not only did that, it entered the court case with an amicus curiae, which is in the repository. You should read it because it really covers what is the ethical obligation and responsibility and privileges of being an engineering professional. So those are my recommendations, and I hope they are listened to and implemented. So go to the report now and read the actual factual data and draw your own conclusions from what is facts, what is not facts, and what changes should be made. Thank you.